1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here today. We got all vets. Everybody here knows what they're doing. They're professionals. We got Father John joining us again. We got Xander. We got Katie with a Y. We got Pierce. And we got producers, Julian, tickling keys.
Pushing buttons, yeah.
Taking names.
Yeah, with all the growth we've had, I've had to make some changes. We tried to angle over here, and it just didn't work with John Henry's good looks on screen.
So. I like the disembodied hand. Hand over there to your
yeah,
left.
I think that's your hand, actually.
Oh, yeah. That is mine. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. We're trying some things, but we're growing, and we can always use more help. So if you are interested in helping, make sure you send us an email at youngadults@thequestatlanta.com.
Hey, you better hurry up. We just hit 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. We got the little thing coming in the mail.
Oh, okay. That's news to me. That's great.
That's true. 200,000. All of them are from the subcontinent. Our friends over there in India. We haven't talked about them in a while.
No, we haven't talked about India in a while. No.
Father, you don't know this, but we've had a uniquely, like if you look at our schematics or whatever on the YouTube, we've got a lot of interactions from India.
Wow.
Go into one video that just like blew up about us talking about how this certain Indian movie showed a really good example of male friendship. And the whole concept, the whole conversation, the little 5-minute, 7-minute snippet was us talking about how, no, it's not gay. There's nothing gay about this. This is like good male intimacy, right? This is really good. But it was like the most clickbaity title you've ever seen. And so nobody listened to it. They just all argued in the comments about how dare we refer to these guys as gay. And it's like, that's the opposite, the antithesis of what we did. But anyway, big shout out to all of our friends over in India. Keep on doing all that stuff you guys do.
What do you say? It's like even bad publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
There you go.
Totally. So we're going to.
It was our viral video.
Yeah. It's pretty great. All right. We're going to kick things off. We're going to be talking about music. I think tentatively this episode is titled Would Jesus Christ Listen to Metallica? Which was your idea. But before we do that, we got fun facts. And before we got fun facts, we got to pray. Father, I'm sorry. I feel like the collar trumps everybody else. You mind?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Us? Yeah, of course. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, please inspire our conversation. We are here post-Pentecost, so we ask for a little Pentecost in this room. Send down your Holy Spirit to inflame our hearts and our minds and help us to know you more deeply and to love you more. And especially as we dive into music, to be discerning in what we listen to so that the music we listen to can inspire us more to be men of virtue and to transform our culture into your kingdom. So we place this in the hands of Our Lady, who is there at Pentecost, and asking for her intercession that she can guide our conversation and fill us with the Holy Spirit. We say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, the hour of our death. Amen. All glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, and once again, that's a priest's prayer, which means I'm not going to grade it.
We never grade prayers on Honest to God.
Not supposed
to. Let's grade some music. How about that?
Yeah, I love that idea. But before we do that, we do have contractually obligated fun facts.
Fun facts.
So, we'll do two rapid fire fun facts a pop.
Two rapid fire. I like it. I'll have mine ready too.
Yeah. All right, Father, you ready?
Yeah. Okay, fun fact. The first first piece of music that I bought was a cassette tape. It was a single from Sam Goody.
Great.
And it was Freshman by the Verve Pipe. I don't know if you guys heard that song.
No.
Freshman. I don't know why. I listened to that song over and over and over. But that was the first tape I ever bought at Sam Goody. You remember Sam Goody? I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember Sam Goody. When you bought cassettes.
Oh, yeah, I did
and
buy
CDs.
Cassettes.
All right, so The Verve Pipe, that was my first obsession, that song. I knew all the words. It was about some, I was just in high school, I think, and it was about some, like, high school kid whose girlfriend broke up with him.
Oh.
So, yeah. This is my melancholic, depressing freshman song. But, you know.
That's great, but that's only one. You owe us two. You gave us two.
I have a Dominican. I have a sister who's a Dominican nun in Scotland.
No way. That's really good. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
That's a fun fact. So. I like that. What about you, Xander? What you got?
I will
give one fun fact that's actually relevant in any way to this discussion at hand, and I'll give another one that's completely random.
Perfect.
I've played this. One fun fact is that I've played the saxophone and was classically trained to play the saxophone. I've played it since 2016, so nearly 10 years now. And my second fun fact is that I was not a particularly naughty child. But one time in pre-K, I led a total rebellion against the teachers by locking them all out of the classroom and then laughing at them while they were pleading with me to unlock the glass door to let them back into the building. And my parents were called, and it was a very sordid affair.
What were the repercussions?
I don't exactly remember that part. I just remember the glorious feeling of watching these teachers just utterly powerless to exercise their duties.
Okay, all right. Those are good. These are good fun facts so far. All right, Katie, what you got?
All right, well, first of all, it's good to be back with you guys.
Good to have you
back.
It's
been a while since I've been around the table, but I'm always happy to see you all, and great to be with you, Father. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
So, most of you know that I have a pretty extensive military history in my family, but what you may not know is that I have a very extensive military music history in my family. So my grandfather was Army First Lieutenant Norman E. Norland of the U.S. Army Cavalry Division. He served in World War II and fought in a major conflict called the Battle of the Bulge. I like to joke that he had his radio moment before I had mine, because he was, before TV and computers, it was just newspapers and radio.
Sure.
And a major radio station went over to Germany, where he was stationed, and they recorded him singing in an all-men's choir, and he is I don't know how this is possible, but he's a classically trained, yet self-taught classical tenor. So, you know, that's a huge thing in our family. My uncle is Army Specialist Norman E. Norland. He served in the Vietnam very briefly and was in an Army marching band. And when I graduated Army basic training right after high school, I was handpicked by an Army colonel to sing the national anthem at my basic graduation. And a core memory is me standing in my full dress uniform with a big old American flag behind me and seeing myself in the reflection of the plexiglass in the back of the auditorium and just thinking to myself, I will never, ever forget this moment.
Oh, that's cool. That's really good. All right.
Wow.
I dig it. Pierce, what you got?
I cannot top that, man. I started watching Glee in high school this is music thing.
No, I love a good Glee-related
I started watching Glee in high school to be able to have conversation with the hot girls at my school.
Fair. Okay.
By the end of the semester, they thought the show was too gay, and I was addicted. So I watched all of Glee several times, and that was my favorite show. It got me into show tunes. I started watching Broadway after that. So,
dude, I love show tunes. Yeah,
Spring Awakening, would not recommend it for children.
No.
But it's terrific. That's what got me into proper, I'd say, like Broadway, with Lea Michele, Jonathan Groff. And so at the same time I was like screaming in crappy metal bands, I was also listening to like show tunes and playing ukulele, Never Shot Never, and
To continue with the same-sex attraction theme, I got into musical theater and all that stuff when I was in high school, and I loved it because I do not struggle with same-sex attraction, and a lot of the guys there did, and so I was like the only guy who was interested in ladies, surrounded by lots of really pretty ladies. It was pretty great.
You guys get all the girls, and if you just play into that role. I was a cheerleader. I was also a baseball player. I did all these things, so I was like, I'm good at baseball.
Where were you a cheerleader?
My high school. And if baseball didn't work out for college, I was going to walk on to like a local college and
dude, it takes ridiculous like strength to be a male cheerleader.
Well, had a low budget actually. School. We were barely doing anything. I did like a star stunt, and I'd hold them up, and people would be like, and I could not do anything else, but that was my claim to fame.
That's all you need to be really a male good. Cheerleader. Is you're just basically a professional backspot.
Just
you're a
fire
perpetual
hydrant.
Backspot.
Yeah, that's all you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that. That's fantastic.
You only got one mess up. You mess up, you're done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we only had like
can't
eight
drop.
Rules, so if you mess up, half the team is gone. So you're done. Yeah.
They all have concussions, and it's your fault.
They don't forget. Remember that one time you didn't catch me?
That's right.
They will never forgive you.
You'll never be there for me if you can't catch me.
So speaking of musicals, I'm just going to cut right to the chase. I'm going to ask the tagline question early.
Wait, I hate to cut you off. Oh. I have two. You're
so close. I want to Metallica.
Well, be that as it may, we will. But I have two. And on the musical theme, I'm actually in a musical myself right now. I'm in Newsies.
I love
if you want to check it out, actually, by the time this airs, you won't be able to check it out. So sorry, but it's going to be the last weekend in June and the first weekend in July. So come and check it out. I'm a Snyder. So anybody who's familiar with it, that's my role.
Where? Then, with what?
So it's with the Lolek performing arts community. Cool. And what's great is actually I don't think there's anybody in there that struggles with same-sex attraction. It's a very Christian based, actually Catholic owned company.
Cool.
Really awesome. Tessa, another friend of the show, well, she's on the business card, is also in it, and many people who have been on the show are going to be in Newsies. So
that's the first fun fact.
Yeah, thank you. Cool. And the other is this is actually a very interesting fact I learned today, that if you are an adult right now, 18 and up, you are older than Google, but this is the last year that any of us will be older than Google. All the new adults next year, well, depending on your birthday, will be younger than Google. So this is the last frontier of adults that are wiser than Google.
That's fun. Yeah. That's good to know.
So, okay. Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Also, Producer Julian, you know that if you're an adult right now, you can go on to our YouTube channel and you can like and subscribe you can like this episode, subscribe to our channel, and leave a comment.
And leave a comment on all videos, please.
Hey, well, how do they find us?
That's youngadults.com. Okay. I said youngadults.com. That'd be awesome if we had that. I don't think we have that. Mm-hmm. It costs too much money. It is youtube.com/@honest2god. And that's youtube.com/@honest2god.
Right.
Like, subscribe, comment, and share the videos with all of your friends and family. Tell them to do the same.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Now, with that out of the way, Father, I want to know, would Jesus listen to Metallica? I don't know much about Metallica. I was never a Metallica. I think I was coming of age at the time when, like, Saint Anger came out or something, and it was awful. And I was like, this is clearly not a band for me, and I never went. But even though I could get into, like, back then, like, sort of your like your Godsmack, some of those guys back in the day.
Godsmack over Metallica?
Godsmack. Now, listen, this is a very different John Henry's fan than the one who says before you today, all right?
Yeah, I think, well, let's take a scene of the gospel. So Jesus is there, and he is going to, you know, the famous painting where he meets Matthew. What's the painting? Is it Caravaggio? Caravaggio's got a famous painting where Jesus goes into where all the tax collectors are hanging out, and they're counting their money, they're gambling, and Jesus, you know, is there pointing at St. Matthew. So very possibly today, if Jesus were to walk into the place, you know, where all the people hung out, very possibly that they could have been blasting some Metallica in the background, you know, some like Master of Puppets or
Enter Sandman,
you know, maybe there was live music in the customs posts where they were all hanging out. Maybe it was a bar, you know, maybe I guess where Peter, James, John, Andrew, Simon the Zealot, I bet they hung out in some pretty cool nightclubs, you know, there was probably some all kinds of music. But I think would Jesus listen to Metallica? I think you have to I say yes with qualifications.
Okay.
In the sense that...
Yeah, because none of those were listening to. That was just being at a place where it might be playing. And I agree. But that's different than Jesus like trying to vibe out to Metallica.
So
somewhere.
Let's say, I would say Jesus would listen to Metallica, but I don't think he would listen to it casually.
Okay.
Like if he was, I guess they didn't really like ride his donkey. Analysts meant that they had like sound systems on their donkeys back then. I don't think he would have Metallica necessarily casually there, but I think he would not listen to it casually and would not listen to it uncritically. But I think music is an expression of where people are at. And so he, by entering into the music of the time or the music of our time or the music of Metallica concert, he enters in there and he enters there to encounter us. Mm. And so, you know, in music like let's say Master of Puppets, Metallica, I don't know how big metal fans we are here, but that's about, you know, I'm pretty sure it's about James Hetfield's addiction. Right, so that's a serious... You listen to that song, it's very much like a soundtrack to someone with an addiction. So Christ, obviously, is not a fan of addiction. he's not wanting you to get into an addiction. That's a pretty heavy song, but he wants to enter into your addiction. He's going to meet you in your addiction. He understands what it's like to be surrounded in darkness and to hang on a cross, to be nailed to a cross, maybe that your cross is addiction. He's going to enter in there. He's going to meet you there. He's going to empathize with you, but then he's not going to leave you there. He's going to lead you out. So I think as Jesus would go to a Metallica concert or listen to encounter people, ultimately to prepare their hearts for redemption and for hope.
Okay, so I think all that's great, but it's still, but that begs the question to me, what does Jesus blare from his donkey? Is he a fish guy? Like, what does Jesus get into?
For so many reasons, he's into fish.
Yeah, he might be into fish, yeah.
That's right. I mean, fish, like jam band. Jesus was he's creative. You know, he helped to create the world. So I think Jesus would be into jam music.
I think Dave Matthews, even if we're going jam bands, okay. I think he really likes Dave Matthews. I mean, that voice is like, I think, heavenly already. It's really good stuff.
He hopes that Dave will eventually find faith.
It's true.
To Dave Matthews' concert to like help Dave realize that he's there too and he exists.
It's really good. I like that.
Sing to me, Dave. Sing to me.
Father, I just want to interject on, you know, kind of what you said about being at a Metallica concert. I to answer your question, yeah, I actually am a pretty big metal fan. But not so much that it like interferes with my life. Like, I can still be holy and know the Lord personally and not get into the lifestyle, is what I'm saying. A lot of times the reason why I listen to metal is because there's, like you said, it's, you know, with Master of Puppets, there's a deeper story to it. And almost every metal song has a personal story. Even if it's not with the singer, but it's somebody. It's somebody's story. So in some way, like, I, even if it's not healthy to be super into it and then consider yourself a practicing Catholic, like, there's a lot of hope that somebody will, I think there could actually, as controversial as it sounds, like, there could be a lot of gospel message in metal, because, you know, if you take out the swearing and you take out the profanity and all of the drug references and whatnot, like,
you still got a little bit of, you probably hear a word or two somewhere in
there. But it's somebody's emotions and it's somebody's personal experience, somebody's deepest valley. And I don't know how else to say it, but it just, that's oftentimes when I've been in the lowest point of my life, there's typically a metal song to support that.
It's like to empathize, like, that song is exactly how,
like,
I feel.
Like, I see you and I feel you.
Yeah. So I think I would agree that Jesus can go into that depth with you and empathize with you, and he can listen to that metal song. But I don't think he's going to stay there with you, right? And so I think, here's an interesting question. Is there metal music in heaven?
Of course.
And how else? If so, well, yeah.
How else would we work out? Like, I grew up, and my first album ever was my dad listening to No Strings Attached by NSYNC, because it was the only, and I didn't know this, I thought he was just really into NSYNC, and even at like 5 I was like, this seems odd.
Yeah,
like, I sure like this album, but it was the only kid friendly album he had. Everything else we couldn't listen to. But I think that, yeah, of course, to have a good time, you have like the Pentecostals have the nice beats and the nice drums and the great singer for the worship, and then we've got the metal in the back for the deadlifts in heaven. I think so. They'd be really good. Yeah.
So a couple things on music is that music, let's say, a discourse like a podcast appeals to your reason and your in truth. Something that we're something that's being offered to you, like a lifestyle, appeals to your will. Is this good? Is this bad? Music appeals to your emotions, right? A part of us. Music makes you feel something. When you listen to a song, there's an emotion. When you watch a movie and the actor is going through a breakup, they play a song and it makes you feel the breakup and you actually cry with the actor. So music appeals to our emotions, right? This is, let's say, lyrics do more appeal a little bit more to our reason, but it appeals to our emotion. So music makes you feel something. Mm-hmm. So feelings are from God. There's not, aside from the feeling of despair, the emotion of despair, all emotions have a place in your life. And so metal music, I would say, mostly appeals to your anger, to anger or to courage. Mm-hmm. You listen to metal when you're going to go, you know, play a football game, or you're going to go out into the freezing cold and like do your run. You're getting up your courage to go achieve a difficult good.
Yeah.
Or there's something's wrong, like some guy broke into your house and you like crank the metal because you're going to go beat him up and throw him out before he hurts your dog, right?
Yeah, totally.
So those are good emotions. Jesus expressed anger. He expressed courage. Mm-hmm. So music that fuels those emotions is actually something good. So if there's a, you know, Jesus flipping over tables in the temple, I think that would have like a probably like a metal soundtrack because it's
raining
like
blood.
Jesus, you know, like anger.
It would have been cool if they did that in The Chosen. If
anger.
All of a sudden you just like blinked and it was.
Yeah. But like, let's say emotions, let's say there's like a pie chart. The amount of your life that you should feel anger is a small slice of the pie, right? You should be feeling more joy and peace, but anger is there. Courage is there. So if you're, you know, dipping into metal music and 90% of your emotional world is anger, like I think you would it would be like out of balance for your it wouldn't be something good. But there's a place in our life where there's real things to be angry about, evils, and there's real things to be courageous about, and in that way I think heavier music you know gives us that emotion that allows us to achieve the good in a difficult circumstance or get rid of the evil.
Sure, I think that's very true, but I also know that there's nothing more motivating for me, whether it's my job, whether it's studying, working out, even in the faith, than listening to songs that have a heavy chord structure. They're drop tuning. There's a lot of chugging in the breakdowns. There's a fast pace for whatever those purposes are. And then a lot of times, like I do think that the metal that I listen to is centered around not despair, but a relatability that we are suffering through something, which I think is a very Catholic thing to suffer. Yeah. I think that when we look at our like hermits, like, and then we look at these, even the Orthodox too, there's a lot of people, there's nothing more metal than the early church talking about like, we know we're going to die soon. Every pope that was first elected is like, I am the whipping boy for this organization that is the church. I'm not going to end up well. And I think that there's like a really cool motivating factor to these songs that help you to press on. They're very stoic. I think that they're people trying to find, a lot of times without God, trying to find I'm going to botch this French word, but the raison d'etre, like the reason for all existence in this suffering, and see like what shines through this and how can I persevere. So yeah, when I hear a lot of this music, I think of perseverance, and I think that that's a very Christian thing. I think that there's a lot of people that popularize, just like in pop, degeneracy, and popularize being happy or okay with dying. And these people are saying, like, well, I'm gonna suffer and I'm gonna risk dying for something that's good. I just don't know what that is yet. And it's a proto-Christ.
Yeah, I'm probably not that familiar. I don't have a very varied musical anything. I'm like a 70s and 80s country guy. That's pretty much it. But I'm not that familiar. But I got in an argument on the show, and I think we can start this discussion and maybe carry it on into the next segment. But I got an argument on the show years ago, before you, Producer Julian, before the days of Producer Julian. Mm-hmm. So
a long time ago.
On this topic, I feel strongly that there's a hierarchy to music in regards to what music is good. And I mean objectively. I don't mean what music you prefer. I think that there is an actual hierarchy in regards to not messaging, but structure, music itself, right? Harmony, melody, right? Beats, all this stuff. I think there's a hierarchy of that which approaches closer to God, and that which approaches closer to God is better for us. I don't know. What are your thoughts, anybody?
I happen to agree with you, but I also think that there's an extraordinarily subjective component to music. Something that might disorder one person's heart and move them further from God will order another person's heart and move them closer to the divine. So, for example, I am incredibly spiritually moved personally by Gregorian chant and by old Anglican hymns and music along those lines, because I'm a bit more traditional when it comes to my taste in sacred music. Contemporary Christian music drives me absolutely insane.
It's the worst things about music and Christianity all rolled into one.
It completely backfires.
I agree.
If it's made with actual religious sincerity, it completely backfires and makes me want to turn into a straw hut burning pagan.
Sure.
It's not good for my spiritual. It's not good for my soul. It's not good for my spiritual health. And that's just my subjective take. I know plenty of people that find Gregorian chants pretentious and stuffy and are very emotionally moved by Sarah Kroger or whoever they happen to be listening to. And that's the subjective nature of music. The Lord takes all manner of strange and wondrous ways to enter our hearts. And I think that there's somebody who could be definitely moved to sin by listening to Metallica. There's another person that the themes of a Metallica song might be the reason why they convert. And that is entirely up to that person and how that song is colored by their subjective life experiences and the way they conceptualize and relate to the Lord.
Mm-mm-mm. If you have any comment to disagree with Xander, please put it down below. Yeah, because I know there's fans of Our God is an Awesome God out there for sure.
Are there still those?
I like the old school.
Is the
Gather
hymnal still hanging on and a couple of pews out there?
Yeah, right.
I think one thing, beautiful thing about Christian music is that Christian music has grown a lot.
It's a lot
better
Christian
quality.
Media too, across the board, I feel
like. Yeah, there's definitely a variety of different types of Christian music, but I definitely think that there is a subjective element to that. Maybe after the break, I'd like to propose a principle of discernment as to when you're listening to music, what music might be good for you, and what is the purpose of music in our faith? Like, is music just solely to entertain us? Is it to make us feel good? When do I know that this music is helping me, and when I know that it's not helping me? In order to know that, I have to know what the purpose of music is and what my purpose is in life.
Yeah, I want to get into that. I also want to kind of bluntly ask what we shouldn't be listening to when we come back from the break. But first, we're going to take a really quick break, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We will be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to this Honest to God production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're going to pick up right where we left off, Father. I think you said that you had some discerning principles, which is a better way of how I think I would have phrased it. But so I'd love to hear there.
I thought that was a really interesting comment. Xander was talking about how somebody could listen to Metallica and it could cause them to, it could be a near occasion to sin for them. Mm-hmm. Or it could be a conversion, you know, it could dispose them toward a conversion that Christ actually brings hope to despair or addiction, right?
Sure.
So I would say my principle would be that, and I propose this to the group, that when I'm discerning what to listen to, would be that music should dispose us toward virtue. So music doesn't make you choose something, but it definitely, when you listen to a song or you listen to music, it disposes your emotions toward what is truly good and to reject what is bad, or the reverse, right? So the music we listen to should dispose us toward virtue. I guess another way to understand virtue is like it should dispose us toward the best version of ourselves. It should dispose us toward what's truly to relish what is truly good, to emphatically reject what is not good, so that music primes us and pushes us to make good choices that allow us to become virtuous men and women.
So when you say music should dispose us towards virtue, are you talking about lyrics in particular, or are you talking about harmony, melody, rhythm, all that stuff?
I'm saying, well, I would say both.
Okay.
Because if we're talking about music without, I guess what the lyrics or the music video does is it takes the emotion and it channels it towards something. Mm-hmm. I hear a metal song and I feel anger, and then I could put lyrics in there about like rejecting pornography.
Yeah.
And it would be like, that could be an awesome song for some good thing. Or you could put that toward rejecting authority in my life, you know, like, we're not going to take it, you know, Twisted Sister.
Right.
And it, like, if you watch the music video, I don't know if you've seen the music video, it's like he like throws his dad out the window.
Right.
And like he totally dismantles the authority figures in his life.
We're against that here on Honest to God.
Yeah. So it's like that video, that lyrics takes a good emotion of, you know, anger, which is meant to be against something bad, and it channels it towards something that's not virtuous, which is to. And not true.
Defenestrate your father. Yeah,
to throw something out. But dispose of sort. So is the song I'm listening to, is this a near occasion to sin? You know, is this song and the lyrics here, or the video, is it causing me to lust? Is it causing me to anger, to unforgiveness? Or is this music, is it helping me overcome my anger? Is it helping me? Is it bringing hope into my life? Is it inspiring me to keep going? Is it an escape? Is it pulling me out of my problems and making an escape of life? Or is it actually pushing me back into my world and helping me to cope with the difficulties and the struggles? Is it helping me find the beautiful things in my life?
Right.
So that can be different for where people are at in their journey. It can be different for different people. But I think the purpose of our musical diet needs to be, is this helping me to actually enter into my life and to become the man, the woman that God wants me to be, and to live truly my life and to relate with the people in my life? Or is it pulling me out? Is it an escape? Is it causing me to sin?
So I want to air my biases before I make the assertion that I'm about to make. I credit the Eminem Show album, right, 2004 maybe, 2003, with like 2 years of debauchery in my life that I really do accredit to the fact that I bought this album, right, and I love this album, and I got Marshall Mathers LP, and I got that Slim Shady LP, that whole whatever. And so that's sort of where I'm coming at this from. So once again, I'm an imperfect, you know, person, and whatever. I could be totally wrong.
Really,
I don't think
lost
I
lost yourself is what you're saying.
In the music, the moment.
Yeah. Never let it go.
Was good. That was a really good. That was good, Julian. Thank you.
It was like coming back 6 miles.
You know, 8 miles.
8 miles.
8 miles. 8 miles. Which was a different album, but that Lose Yourself was not on the Eminem Show. But I feel like. And I was having this discussion with our choir teacher at the school where I work not too long ago, that the reason why hip-hop, and I probably put metal in this. I don't know enough about metal to really, like, make an assertion, but I'm just going to lump it in, right? Why not, right? I put genres of music that prioritize rhythm over harmony, or I'm sorry, over melody, right? Sort of lower down my totem pole, because it feels to me, right, once again, it feels, I'm not saying necessarily I can reason all of this out, but it makes me feel a way that I feel like is typically not ordered towards the good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, and tell me I'm wrong, by all means.
I think, go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I did not respect the yield sign, please.
I think it's a disservice to any genre of music to categorize it as being, like, discordant. From pop, like mainstream pop, most of it is horrible.
Yeah.
But inside of that too. I mean, honestly, I don't like most Gregorian chants.
Right.
Like, if it's Media Vita, then I'm like, yes, of course. Like, of course, Padre Pio liked it. I like it. Like, it's great. But then there's some that I don't like. I mean, it just, to me, it really is what the sound is. There's a there's an idea from like Pierzing in the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance about what quality is and how you can define it. But you just kind of like, it's like the pornography in the Supreme Court. I just know it when I see it.
Right.
Doesn't matter what genre it is. Like if it's John Bellion using like a J. Dilla boom bap, like beatbox from the 80s to make music that's life-saving, then that's great. He harmonizes with perfect pitch. He writes songs for Aguilera and Bieber. But he's a pop artist. Or if I've got like a metal band like Bloodlines in Texas, who's writing a song called Holiness Cries, saying pornography will not captivate you anymore.
Sure.
Then I love that. And then in metal, you have harmony and melody. You've got singing, usually comparing it with the screaming inside of it to give it like anger. And then relief, you give it like death and resurrection. You have all these typologies inside of metal. I think rap is the same way. Rap is like another cultural idea of saying, this is the problems we go through in a version of which we relate to, and here's how we combat that. I mean, you have like KRS-One going into like black manhood and how to be good inside of rap music. It's like just popular. Good things are never popularized, whether that's metal, whether that's worship songs. Like, I mean, more often than not, in my 20s and 30s group, we don't listen to really good chants. We listen to something that Chris Tomlin wrote 30 years ago.
Sure.
And I'm just like, why? You know, we're trading quality for quantity. But I do think that there's a beauty to all those genres. Even like rap, even bluegrass. I think there's beautiful bluegrass.
No, especially bluegrass. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That definitely ranks higher on the John Henry Span arbitrary ranking of music. And I guess I'm not so much talking about, maybe I am. I'm having a hard time articulating my own thoughts here because it's frustrating for me when it's something that I feel. And maybe it's just colored by personal experience.
Sure.
Right? But it seems to me like songs that make me feel like certain types of music, genres of music, lyrics aside, appeal to baser emotions. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. What are some...
Well, I think that there's a reason why large drums were invented for war.
Right.
There's a reason why, you know, like the scene in Ben-Hur on the galley, the ramming speed, and the guy goes faster on the big old drums, or the reason why Taiko drums were invented for warfare, and so on and so forth. There's something about heavy, bass heavy, drum heavy rhythms that plays to the human limbic system that gets us jacked up and ready for combat. And that can be it's one of those things that is kind of like I was saying before, the subjectivity of it. That can be a good thing. That can direct you towards good. It can direct you towards defending your family, or it can direct you towards evil. Mm-hmm. And I would argue, to get mildly metaphysical, that music is intrinsically good. But like Tolkien said, evil cannot create. It can only corrupt what is or already exists, or what is good, or whatever the precise wording was. Every single genre of music, even rap, which I generally loathe, it has examples of goodness that come out of it. But at the same time, it can be used for tremendous harm. It can be used to draw people away from virtue, draw people away from the truth, and direct them towards sin. It entirely really depends on it's partly on the subjective experience of the listener, and also a large part on the intention of the artist.
And I think that I agree with what you said. Music intrinsically is good, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're stringing chords, if you're making music, that is an order that sounds good to our ears because it is a reflection of beauty. I don't care how bad the lyrics are, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it is some blasphemous, awful, you know, black metal something, right? The fact that they're combining these sounds for the sake of order, right? The sounds are still a reflection, right? That order is a reflection of beauty. So whether they want to or not. Did you hear about, you might have heard about this, it was a Norwegian black metal band that converted to Catholicism.
He tried to find out how to make more blasphemous music and then turned himself Catholic.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Very good.
Wow. Very good. I will say here's my one metal. This is my one metal take.
I'm excited.
Have we ever had this conversation on the show before?
I'm excited.
Like I've talked about this on the show before. Do you know the band Sabaton?
Yeah.
Yes.
Speed metal.
Oh my
God. Yeah. You know The Last Stand.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So,
Father, it's a song about the Swiss Guard going out to fight off the army of the Holy Roman Emperor, 1527 the a remnant of them sneaks the Pope out through the back to get to whatever his stronghold is. And the whole song is about these guys who are all about to go and die, and they're going to die to defend the church and the Holy See.
God.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I love that song. And I introduced my son to that one day because, you know, we cruise around and we listen to whatever my music. And I was like, oh, dude, check this out. And he's like, he was like 12, and it was the coolest thing that ever happened to him. He was like all hyped up. He wanted to be a Swiss guard for like the next year and a half.
I think that's the male fantasy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. The male fantasy. All caps T. T H E, you know?
to die for something good.
Yes.
And, yeah.
So, yeah, I want to comment on something you guys both said, but if different ingredients in music objectively affect us differently. So rhythm, when you want to move somebody to action, like war, the rhythm actually, if the rhythm is faster than your heartbeat, it will increase your heartbeat.
Oh, interesting.
So it will release more adrenaline in your body. So when you want people to move, like you're thinking, hey, let's make an awesome dance song. You're like, all right, we need some serious drums. So you got to have a good beat. But the mass, you don't want people to dance in the pews. So we want to calm you down. We want you to sit in the pew. We want you to be calm. And we actually, with beautiful harmony, we're going to make it a little slower. Melody and harmony appeal to your higher faculties. So we're going to sing the truth in melody and harmony. It's going to be slower. We're going to have less rhythm because we want your heart rate to slow so that you can receive the beauty of the mystery.
Sure. Yeah.
So that when the priest is saying the words, you're receiving it in the depth of your person, right? Uh-huh. So you don't want the guy going to battle for the, you know, to the Armageddon battle. You don't want him to sit down on the ground and contemplate. You want him to you want adrenaline rushing through, and you want him to prepare for battle, and you want them to moving, right? So rhythm affects our heartbeat, our adrenaline. If you get up, if we started to dance right now, after 5 minutes without music, we would be huffing and puffing.
It'd be so embarrassing.
But if you put music on and with a loud bass drum, like, we could dance for 2 hours, be covered in sweat, have burned like 2,000 calories, and we would be like, wow, I didn't think I was in that good of shape. Because like the music, it energizes you. So I think there's an objective element. And that's why the church proposes a certain soundtrack for Mass, because it wants to put you in a state to be able to better deep receive the beauty of the truth there. But Jesus flipping over tables in the temple would have a lot of drums, and, you know, because it's a different emotion. Mm-hmm. I want to say that. And then secondly, to your thing, I think we do need to, it'd be great if we could give our listeners some criteria for music. Like, yes, some bluegrass is great, some's not. Some rap is good, some is not. So there, you can judge rap on, like, did that guy do good rap music? Did he do a good guitar solo, like musicianship? But then you can say, is that song good for me to listen to? Is that song affecting my soul and helping me to be a better or a worse person? And that's more the moral dimension. It could be a killer guitar solo. It could be an awesome metal song. But if it's causing me to despair, no matter how good of a metal song it is, that's not good for me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, Father, I want to attempt to speak intelligently on that, because the operative word being attempt, because I did study this in college.
Yeah.
And I was a music minor, and for the last 2 years of my collegiate career, and I learned a lot about, not only about music, but really about the body and the mind.
Yeah.
And there is so much science that goes into music that you don't even realize it. There's so much biology, there is chemistry, there is psychology, mathematics, absolutely, you know, it's physics even, you know, your body, when either you're listening to music or you're creating music or you're just performing in general, like, there's so much that goes in. Your brain releases chemicals that, you know, create, you know, a certain sound, a certain dissonance in harmonies, you know. I could go into more about the mechanics of music, but, you know, my point is that there's so much that music can do for not only the mind and the body, but the soul.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about the life of Saint Cecilia, the patroness of music, and the Roman martyr, and, you know, just to think of how, you know, she was so connected to God through music. And, you know, if music can do all of that, why wouldn't it save souls? Just from not even really making a pop song or making a, you know, happy slappy little contemporary song, you know, just let God do the talking. And there, you know, there's so much that I could talk on about, you know the concepts of music and the mechanics, and, you know, why certain sounds create certain emotions, because they trigger, you know, chemicals in the brain that, you know, create emotions and feelings. And, you know, obviously we're not all going to react in the same way. We might react with tears streaming down our face, or we might just not feel anything. You know, it's all about body chemistry.
So to jump off that a little bit and to take it back to something you said earlier, Xander, you said something about music, and whether it is, I forget what your verbiage was, but a lot of it has to do with the intention of the creator, right? Mm-hmm. I teach a theology of the body class, and a lot of times when we're talking about pornography and what pornography is, we say it has to do with the intention of the creator. If the intent is to sexually arouse you, right, then it's probably pornography, right? If you happen to be sexually aroused by the Statue of David, right, that's a you thing, man. That's on you, right? That's not pornography, objectively, right? You compose, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, so what, I don't know, can you just talk a little bit to that piece about music being made and the intention behind it and your takes on that?
Well, it's very complicated. I have mainly composed for independent movies. Mm-hmm. And there is a tremendous amount of complex mathematics and all the other things, psychology, all the other things
biology,
physics, everything that you mentioned, it goes into producing an effect upon the listener. Sure, there's a degree of subjectivity about how the listener will interpret your piece, but you also want to project an intention. This especially becomes potent when artists perform live on stage. Mm-hmm. For instance, I recently discovered the existence of a certain Sabrina Carpenter. I've never heard one of her songs before. I have no intention of ever hearing a song of hers, but I was watching this rather lengthy video essay about kind of dissecting her music a little bit. And you have this, clearly there's some producers that got together and they have constructed through the particular, the tempo, the instrumentation, the rhythms used in the music, and then coupled with the particular stage performance that Sabrina Carpenter gives, they have tried to construct this seamless experience of essentially being seduced. It's her music is not good. Her music is, and I mean that.
I don't mean that's pop.
Kind of a pop artist. Okay. Her music is not, in my opinion, virtuous or attuned to the good. It's designed to try and produce this kind of ersatz view of femininity, mm-hmm. and this, and also this kind of seductiveness that's meant to draw you down from the divine and kind of make you animalistic. That kind of evil is very well orchestrated in her music from a composer's standpoint, because the performance of it kind of collides with all of the underlying components that the composer has set up in the music. Mm-hmm. I see that quite a bit with mainstream pop music, and it completely dominates rap and all manner of things like that.
Yeah, I think music, ultimately, God created music to draw us to the good, to attract us and to help us relish in and feel the good, and to repel us from what is bad, what is evil, what is not good for us. And so in music, the enemy is going to use the good and the beautiful, and he's going to attract you to something that's seemingly good but it's hollow on the inside. Mm-hmm. Sabrina Carpenter is using all the beautiful things about music that's meant to draw you in, and instead of giving you something good, it's actually giving you a disease at the end. It's giving you something really bad. So it's like, the music I listen to, is the music I listen to drawing me toward a lifestyle, something that's really good, or is it not? And I think if your music is, like, going back to my thing about virtue, like, if my music is disposing me towards some lifestyle or to desire things that are not really good for me, then music is actually corrupt. It's not doing what it's meant to do in my life. It's meant to draw me to what is good and help me to reject what is bad.
All right, so with that in mind, we've got about 5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. I would love to go around and just do like a 1 minute song/artist/album recommendation,
oh,
right? Preferably, it would be a little hipster about it, something that everybody in the world hasn't heard of, yes, right? And just what do you think our listeners should check out and why? Anybody got an immediate hot take that jumps to mind?
I am forgetting the album name. It might just be the name of the band, but Voces 8.
What is it?
It's a this is an ensemble that is a choral ensemble,
mm-hmm.
and they have these extraordinarily breathtaking renditions of classic hymns and some contemporary things as well. But there's this particular version of Lux Aeterna that they did, mm-hmm. that is absolutely divine. It sends shivers up my spine and makes me want to go to confession. It's really absolutely beautiful. Voces 8, Voces, and then the number 8. It's a really wonderful ensemble, and I believe the album I'm referring to is named after the band. It might be their debut album, but I might be misremembering that as well.
Awesome, that's great. Who else? Katie, you got something?
Well, you might have to have a Halo subscription for this, but if you don't, get the Halo app. And Matt Marr, who is a Catholic worship leader, he made two contemporary renditions of Pange Lingua and also Panis Angelicus, which are, it sounds terrible, but, you know, if you're not into contemporary, you would think, oh, this is like an ear sore, but he does it in such a reverent way and a deep love for the Eucharist that it is so captivating to the soul and to, you know, just, you talk about going to confession, Xander, it's the type of thing I just want to like run to the chapel after hearing it. So, you know, definitely, if you don't have the Halo app, get the Halo app and listen to Pange Lingua and Panis Angelicus by Matt Marr.
Awesome. Pierce, your father?
Yeah, so right now I would say a good album for lyrics and for good metal music, to stay on topic with I guess the Metallica theme, would be Kublai Khan from Texas. I'm repping the hat right now. And shameless plug.
Is that a band?
They're a band from Texas, yeah. And so they have a really good album called Absolute. It's not their newest album. Their newest album is Exhibition of Prowess. But we're seeing them for like the fifth time in a month or so.
Cool.
That album is really good. It wrestles with everything from masculinity and what it means to be a father. He was abandoned by his father, and he was a product of mixed relations in a town that did not like that. And so he had to deal with racism through that, and he was alone in that. It deals with topics of what it means to grow from pits of hell that you put yourself in. And also the music will make you want to deadlift a rhinoceros. So it's really really good stuff. I recommend that a lot.
Great. This episode of Honest Guys actually brought to you by Kublai Khan, which is interesting. That's a crazy coincidence.
We're sponsored. Yeah.
Deadlift a rhinoceros. I mean, for me, I tend to listen to the same stuff over and over. But one of my favorite worship albums is Stephanie Gretzinger, Forever Amen. I won't dwell on that one just because it's a beautiful album. It's so calming, and it's just her and a piano. But my favorite band ever probably is Switchfoot. Listen to like Best of Switchfoot. They have an album called Best of Switchfoot. Wow. If I was in a band, it'd be in Switchfoot. Just rocks hard. They have some awesome rock stuff. They have some, I would say their lyrics are mostly like more existential, like search for meaning. And then they have some really beautiful slow stuff. The song This Is Your Life probably had a profound impact on me.
Dare You to Move is an awesome
Dare You to Move
song.
They rock hard and they have some deep songs, so that was my, they'll be on my my running and playlist for the rest of my life.
We certainly were meant to live for so much more.
Hey.
So many pools today, Julian. This is amazing. I love that.
You got a recommendation in the last 45 seconds, Julian?
Last 45 seconds. Tatiana. There's a great song called Ellie Ellie that she sings, but a lot of her music is really, really good. E-L-I-E-L-I. I thought it was Eli Eli when I first saw it, but no, it's Ellie Ellie by Tatiana. It's really beautiful. We use it in the Living Stations of the Cross.
I dig it.
St. Michael's, yeah.
All right, and as we do our outro, I'm going to do a three for number one is Chris LeDoux. Check out some Chris LeDoux, Old Paint. That's a really good one. Anything that Father John has on Spotify. And,
that's right. You can find us on Hala too, RC Music Collective.
Heck yeah. What? And while you're at it, Tchaikovsky 1812 Overture. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for listening. Guys, thanks for being here, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.